Do you feel like your business is running your life instead of the other way around? I'm Roy Castleman. I've built multiple seven-figure companies, worked across continents, and coached high-performing entrepreneurs. But I've also been completely burnt out. At one point, I was barely seeing my daughter, drowning in stress, and one step away from walking away from it all. That's when I made a decision to build a business and a life that works for me. The journey became Elevate 360. A system to help business owners reclaim their time, find their energy again, and get back in control without sacrificing growth. And this podcast, Power Movers, is where I share real stories behind that shift. Each week, you'll hear from entrepreneurs, founders, and leaders who've walked through the fire and come out of the other side with clarity, courage, and a system that works. If you're ready to build a business that gives you more life instead of taking it away, you're in the right place. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. I'm here with Willie Blake. Hey, Willie, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Roy. Yeah, I expect this to be a really good conversation today.
Yeah. So let's go back to Willie of old. Tell us where you grew up, how you became an entrepreneur, because that's what you are. Yeah. And what was that journey like?
Yeah. So little Willie grew up mainly on the west side of the U.S., over in Utah, grew up there most of my life. And just Willie was just an adventurous kid, not shy to say things, just loved being curious. And then he was diagnosed with this thing called dyslexia, which for me, a really hard challenge with reading and speaking. So anytime that I had to read out loud or read generally anything at all, it was very hard to get through. And so as I continued to grow up, it was this, saw it as a challenge that was in my life. And up through middle to high school, up to college, I always felt behind. Felt like I needed to catch up to everybody else. And I was always second guessing myself. I'd be sitting in class and literally the teacher would ask a question. We'd do the math with it and I'd have the answer right in front of me. 5 seconds would go by, 10 seconds, 15 seconds would go by. And then another kid over there would raise their hand, get the same answer. And I'm like, oh, then you get the into your mind, right? And you start beating yourself up and everything. So then this outgoing, adventurous kid started to become shy and observant and not raising his hand. And it was about halfway through college, after experiencing what I did, to then be like, is that really how the world is? That we just get thrown this thing and it just sucks? And we have to deal with it the rest of our life.
No, so when were you diagnosed with it?
Diagnosed about first grade. So about when I was 6 or 7.
Yeah.
And so like we caught it early and my parents helped intervene with some people to help me and then extra time with flashcards and reading and games and such like that.
Yeah.
Just grew up like that. And from dyslexia, not just dyslexia, but really anything, as I was learning about this thing called business and this thing called coaching, because I was really good at Monopoly. And my mom's like, you're good at strategy. Why don't you go into business? And I'm like, oh, that sounds really cool. And I started learning about it. And I saw dyslexia as this, the challenge of now being, okay, what's the other side of it? And I learned there's a lot of advantages to it. And then I was like, okay, if that's with my challenge, what about other people? What about when it comes to some hard topics like miscarriages or cancer, or even soft topics like trying to get married or trying to start a business or earn more money? And all these like specific things that could be considered bad turned into, well, really there's both sides to it and you get to choose.
So I grew up in Africa. My father was a pilot and we would move house every 6 months, sometimes every 3 months. I went to 13 or 14 different junior schools. Yeah. And yeah, your formative years form you, right? So I had to really learn how to make friends quickly, but then I never had any deep relationships. It was only when we settled in a place, and unpacking that now in our 50s, where you start actually going and say, oh, okay, this is where we are. Yeah, you go back and you look through these things, and you're right. The positive is I can go into a room and I can make a whole bunch of friends, and the negative is I don't have that huge circle of friends that are more deeper friends, but then I really value those 5 or 6 friends that are always there. Yeah, it's a strange world.
Everything has that good, everything has that bad. So at the end of the day, we get to choose. So I chose to be that resource for dyslexic adults and for my kids.
Tell me about how you, sorry to interrupt, how did you decide to start your business?
Yeah, literally. So I watched a YouTube video by Grant Cardone. It was like 5 steps to become a millionaire, and still one of my favorite YouTube videos. But then it led to this dude named Evan Carmichael, who does this top 10 success rules videos, where he takes Tony Robbins, Oprah Winfrey, those people who are out there being successful, and their top 10 rules of success. And so that kind of started it all. And I'm like, okay, I've always wanted to be a teacher. That was back in 2018. So I was just low 20s, about 22, 23.
You were working? You had a job somewhere?
Yeah, produce at Walmart.
So it's that thing of going, so I'm digging in here because this is the moment that I love. Yeah.
Please, let's do it.
Entrepreneurs are the most awesome people in the world to me. That is great because we see a problem in the world and we think, yeah, we can fix, I can fix that problem. I can help people fix that problem. And then we step totally outside of our comfort zone, right? Yeah. And we have a
Yeah.
moment where we're like, okay, I'm letting go of the branch. I'm letting go of the tree. I'm just going for it. And less than 2% of people in their lifetime will start a business.
I could believe it.
Less than 1% every year. So that really makes us an entirely different type of people. And how many people do you sit and talk to? Everybody you know will be telling you, they've got to, then go and do it.
I have this next $1 billion idea. It's going to make everybody money.
Yeah. I said, yeah, I was in the produce at Pick and Pay in South Africa, so when I was younger. What made you decide? What was that moment? That's what I'm after.
Yeah, that moment. It was a statistic that came up because as I was figuring out what this business was, and I was at college in the time, halfway through going to, I was an accountant, but then I switched over to business. The statistic said 95% of CEOs read 50 or more books a year. And so my brain connected that and saying, okay, it'd be really cool to be a CEO and have my own business. So that just means I need to start reading more books. I knew that 50 was impossible, especially for a dyslexic who read maybe one book. But 12 book a month didn't seem bad. Grabbed that little note card that I have back in the school days, wrote 1 to 12 on it, went to my bookshelf, grabbed a small little book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki,
Yeah.
opened it to chapter one and started to read. And that's where it just all started to unfold.
Have Audible and I've got thousands of books from Audible. My new favorite book is Who Not How.
I haven't read that one.
Not How. Just for business owners, it's really awesome because it's the way we think about growing our businesses. Yeah, this was done, I think it was written in 2020. And now we have AI and the who can become AI. I'm just super excited about that. So you started your business. Tell me about the first year. I call it the baby phase, right? Yeah, you've just had a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Baby phase, a lot of planning, put up spreadsheets, no clients at all. I was doing all the back work, making sure everything was perfect and in place. And I was talking about it for sure. I was like, I'm just this, because right now I'm not as specific with being a high performance coach for dyslexic professionals. Back then it was, I'm just this success coach. I want to help everybody become successful. And when you talk to everybody, nobody's going to listen. You're not talking to what actually
Yeah.
hurts them and how to come up with solutions. And so, yeah, first year, zero clients. Second year, one client. Very excited. It was my cousin. It
I mean
was my cousin.
that's the other thing for business entrepreneurs, right? Tenacity. Yeah, you've got to be able to take. What my partner, she gets a bit irritated with me because I say I love failure.
Yeah.
Oh, I failed at that. And she's like, you didn't fail. It's all these. I'm like, no, I failed at it because if I failed at it, then I can learn. I only learn from failure. And when I learn from failure, then I can do something better. Then I own the problem.
Fail fast, fail forward, just how you look at it.
I'm blaming everybody else out in the world for failure, then I don't have any way to go in and fix it. But if it's my own fault, my own problem, then okay, how do I fix this? What do I do? What's the next step? So yeah, that was
Yeah.
one of my big lessons through life.
It's a great lesson. I think it was Tom Bilyeu, who I also learned that from, where he just says, I take responsibility for everything. Literally, if a comet or a meteor were to come and were to hit my house and my wife died, I would take responsibility for that because I'm the one that chose the house. I'm the one that chose to marry my wife and us to live in this place. And there's just this different type of power that comes back to you when you just accept everything and not in a guilty or shame way. Just I accept that what happens is on me. So if I want to create something, everybody else can do what they want, but I can do it. It's all on me to create the future.
I love that example. I've tested this, and I did Dale Carnegie's work. I did a lot of his work.
Okay.
One of the things he talks about is smiling. Just smile at everyone. How to win friends and influence people. And the thing is, you walk into a room and you've got a long face because you got up in the morning, you kicked the dog, you dropped the phone in the toilet, you lost the keys, and then you walk into the room and you've got their face, and just watch how everyone reacts to you. Yeah, they all step and they go back, and you've made the room what it is, right? And then you're like, oh, Mary was nasty to me. Such and such had a bad face. It's, no, that's you own that space. Yeah, and you can control it. So your third year, tell us about your third year.
Yeah, third year did went a lot better, got the practice in. That's when I started to listen to Alex Ramosi stuff as he was doing it. And he was just like, yeah, start putting in the reps, do the rule of 100, just send 100 messages out a day. And I'm like, cool. Did that for 5 days, got
The
a lot of traction.
top 100, yeah.
Then you just keep going. What else do you have to lose? And so that next year, I got a few more clients that worked one-on-one. And then in the background, while I was doing that, I'm like, as I was asking them what's going great with the business, what's not going great, what would you like to see improved or added? Then it was, I want to get more of us together. Like, where's the community? So then we started a community. And it's like, sweet. And then what's another thing? Now that we have a community, then like, I'd love to just get a group of us for like daily calls. So now we get every weekday daily calls going with the people I work with. And then from there, it's just like, it's great. We talk. But like, where's the in-depth work that I get from a lot of coaching? So then now every other week with each of my clients, we jump on it. And it's just so cool from like just one or two clients that happened in year three to like how it's built up to today of we got one-on-ones going on in-depth from the community of amazing neurodivergent individuals, not just people with dyslexia, to then the group calls and everything that goes into with a business. And yeah, just incredible.
It's a super cool journey.
I think so. It's my life. I think it's pretty cool.
So this, with all of those things, I'm doing all of those things as well. Have you played with much of the AI yet? Are you in
Oh
there?
yeah, quite a bit.
What's your most useful thing you've done?
Useful thing I've done. I like every evening to go back and forth with ChatGPT. But after February 13th, when they took away the 4.0 model and everything, it went a little hayward and whatnot. We can go specifically into that if we want. But before that, like I love to just every night jump on it and just use it as a mirror. Be like, this is what I have. Let's go back and forth on it. Or one of my favorite things to do would be, what is one thing that I just am not seeing about myself that if I knew about it, would stop hindering my business and actually make it grow faster. And if you program the AI right and it has the long-term memory and the certain aspects in there, then you can have a good conversation. I just love using AI to help me self-improve because, of course, you got the capabilities of everything else, but for it to help me improve faster, that's one of the coolest capabilities I've found.
And that's it, yeah, that I think that people don't realize how early it is. It's so early and so few people are using it like this. I've literally just written a book. And yes, I helped me with it. And I had this real challenge of people think they think I'm not a writer because I used AI. And it's called thinking outside your brain with AI. How do you actually go through the process of using AI to help you think better? And I mentioned what you're talking about there. It's partially that I use it for the brain dump. I don't journal. I've never been able to write. I'm very untidy. I'm partially dyslexic as well. Yeah, I don't type, I don't touch type. So I'm like, yeah. And so I'm like, okay, now get up in the morning, brain dump. There's a format for it, right? I'm going to give you a stream of consciousness thought here. I need you to organize it. Bro, stop and listen to myself. Listen what noises are in my head. Okay, go. Bro. And I'll do that three or four times until there's nothing left in my head. And then I say, okay, now this is my goal for the next 2 weeks. I want you to help me identify the list of things I put down here. And from that list of things that are down here, just put them in order for me. As soon as I have that overwhelm going in my head, I'm like, okay, that's my go-to. Yeah. And
Yeah, AI. And tell me if you've seen this too, as you're out there. We're getting a lot more creative entrepreneurs because now they're not bogged down by the nuts and bolts of having to have the perfect writing of the email to send to their clients or having to be able to create the perfect business plan from scratch just with themselves and a pen and paper. Now you got AI that helps you out. So, like that weakness that used to hold a lot of us back who are neurodivergent. Now that weakness is getting covered with AI, and we're able to now focus on the things which we do great at, which is the creativity, the problem solving, the perspective seeing. Have you seen that?
you're gonna love Who Not How. You really are. It goes into some of that. For sure, I've seen that. And I've taken that one step further. Do yourself a favor, get a Claude subscription if you haven't.
Yeah, I'm looking into it.
100%. So what I've done, I've been doing it for about 3 months now, and you've come across Notion, right? So yeah, Notion's awesome database. You can do pages, you can do databases. But I'm sure you've also had a massive overwhelm of threads. Yeah,
Yeah.
I've got 400 threads. Damn, I had that great idea. What the hell? What happened with that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, okay, let me fix this. So I went on to Claude. I'm like, right, what, how can I do this? And I had Notion, and I'd built a couple of databases, and it's time consuming, right? You got to go in, you got to put the fields in, and I figured it out. And then I saw a Notion connector. So I was like, okay, connect Notion. So I'm like, okay, Claude, what can you do in Notion? Anything you want. What do you mean anything I want? So your database, I can build your pages, I can do, let's do it. So now what I do is Notion and Claude have become my PA. And if you've ever had a good PA, you will know how amazing that is. They sit next to you, they just take everything off of you, it just unburdens you in such a massive way. I've not had a good PA because they just can't. My mind works in a totally different way. And like 3 weeks in, they're like, Roy, I
Yeah,
can't do
sure. Yeah.
it. I'm done with you. So I started going through and said, okay, so now I've got this idea. I want to write this book. Go and create me, I'll put a workspace in there. Go and create me a database about the chapters, a database about my stories, a database about this. Okay, put it in there. And then I'm like, okay, I'm going to now talk in my stories. Yeah. So, because talking for me is so much easier. If I talk too
Yep.
fast, it's just so much easier. So I'm like, okay, now, I've talked in the story. Now I get my voice out of it. So create my voice. Okay, so now I've created my voice. I'm like, oh, I don't want to say this. I don't want to say that. Run, make me a writing voice. Okay, now apply my writing voice to my stories and put them into my data, into my chapters. Yeah. So into my story bank. Yeah, I think Brunson talks about story bank. I did one of his courses. Good guy to look at if you haven't. And yeah,
Yeah.
so now I'm like, I've got everything. It's out of my brain. It's there. Yeah. And as I'm going through my day, I'm just like, okay, Claude, I just had a good idea for a story. I'm just going to talk it in, pop it into my database for me. And it puts it in. Yeah. And every single idea I've got database. I don't even need to know where it is. Right? I don't even look at them. I'm just using the tool to be an outside brain.
Yeah.
Yeah, really awesome. I'm gonna come back and I'm gonna end off on just talking about wellness because that's a real subject that's close to my heart. I nearly died twice in 21.
Oh, dang.
Ended up was going to commit suicide. Got to the top of a 130-foot tower. Luckily, I've been doing Wim Hof breathing. I don't know if you've come across Wim Hof. But he does cold exposure and breath work. And I've been doing some of these things and I did some breath work. And that was enough for me to take the next step. But at the same time, I was getting so stressed all the time. I was just on this edge with it that I ended up getting a burst colon. And I was literally in my flat trying to get to my phone across the couch so I could get someone to help me. I couldn't even move. Ended up in hospital with a burst coat on for 11 days on IV. And that just made me realize how important your mental health is and your physical health. What's been your journey through that? Do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, because I talk a lot about dyslexia, but when it comes to like mental health and our abilities, a lot of us feel behind. A lot of us feel as we just lay down at night about, man, all I want to do is just distract. I want to scroll on my phone. I want to watch a video. I just want to play a game because, goodness gracious, man, if I fall asleep, that just means the morning comes quicker. And with how my days are going, I don't want tomorrow to come quick. I want to be able to have some control of my life.
I love that. Yeah.
And it's hard. It is hard, especially when it happens every day. It's not just this happens to 10% of the days. Sometimes it's upwards of 50 or even more, 60 or 70. And so being able to, like, having that real sensation, you have those two people in my life that are not with us anymore. One was my cousin. We weren't that close at the time, but because of him, something shifted in me. Second one was my best childhood friend. Both of them took their lives within a week of each other. And you know, as well as I do, and for those of you who are listening, who you have had these moments, you know the exact place, you know the exact time. I was over at my college in Utah, at Utah Valley, and I was standing in the business department. I had my friend, his name was Spencer, sitting next to me. I got the text from my mom telling me about what happened to my cousin. And I'm like, that just sucks. Then a week later, same department, probably 2 or 3 feet to the right, got a text from my mom again, saying that my childhood friend also took his life. And I remember that because of everything that went on, it was really that hard time. And I took out a post-it note from my backpack and wrote something on it. And I can't remember what notebook it's in. I know it's behind me. I'm not going to go look for it right now. But on that note, sticky note, I put, I'm never going to let people who I care about or who are around me suffer like those two did ever again. Yeah. And so that's really when it took my, not just like my business, but everything that I do, brought it from, now we're leading with the heart.
Yeah.
We're leading with why. Yeah. And my whole thing, if I could take my why to one word, it would be light. And over 6 years of having my one word just be light, which is the opposite of darkness,
yeah.
I finally put an acronym to it, which it's love, inspire, gratitude, hope, and time. That's truly all that we have.
Yeah.
And now everything that I do, from implementing it into the strategies of business, to just the relationships with my wife and my four kids, to the people that are around me, my neighbors, the acquaintances and the clients and the people I consider mentors, everything revolves around that. And it's those hard moments that some people take as trauma moments and then don't do anything with it. And their life continues to be mundane. And I'm just so grateful for past Willie of just taking out that little sticky note and just writing down, I'm never going to let this happen to other people. Yeah. I'm going to be the hero if that's what needs to happen. Do it. Just figure out the system too. We're doing this from the heart.
Yeah.
We're starting on the inside and working outward.
Good. I don't think we're going to top that. So let's end there. How do people get hold of you? What have you got to offer them?
Yes. So best way to get a hold of me is to go to my website, coachwilliblake.com. And there you'll be able to find ways to connect with me on social media, as well as if you're a dyslexic professional or entrepreneur yourself, you can be able to work one-on-one. The gift that I have for you who are listening is my free ebook called Break Three, the 12 limitations that hold us back and how to break them. And it'll be right there, smack dab on the website that you can click and go grab. But we limit ourselves so much, and it's time to just break free from what holds us back.
Thanks for listening to Power Movers, the podcast from All the Power. But our mission is to help business owners reclaim their time, reset their energy, and live the life they love. If this episode sparked something for you, your next step is simple. Take the fit check at allthepower.co.uk. It's a short clarity tool that helps you see where you are, what's getting in the way, and what might be possible if you have the right system. When you're ready, come and join the tribe. Power movers start with our signature framework called Elevate 360, a system built to help you escape survival mode, create structure, and move forward with power. Just remember, everything we share here is based on real stories, experience, and frameworks. It's not personal business advice. Always speak to a coach or advisor before making big decisions. Because in the end, it's about more than business. It's about building a life that you actually love. I'm Roy Castleman, and I'll see you in the next episode.